Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Kate had to have 3 days off to go to America for an interview for Titanic with James Cameron. And when she got there, she said, you know, I'm doing this period film, and this makeup artist is really good at doing period. She's really good at making my skin look beautiful and what have you. He said, oh, right. And that's how I got the job. He just phoned me the next day and said, would you like to do Titanic?
Hello and welcome back to Beautiful Lives. This week's guest is Tina Earnshaw, and as I'm sure you gathered from the opening quote, Tina was the key makeup artist on Titanic, which means she was the mastermind behind Kate Winslet's character Rose's iconic makeup look. Tina has some incredible stories from the set, which she shares during this episode, so I won't spoil them for you now, but suffice to say, after talking to Tina, I ended up re-watching the film and rewinding the crowd scenes in the water a bunch of times. So expect to end up watching Titanic after you've listened to this. It's no bad thing in my opinion, I love that film. But Titanic isn't the only film that Tina's worked on that you'll know really well. She's made up countless big names and worked on huge films, so I'm just going to touch on some of them quickly, as she's so modest and basically tends to gloss over it. So Tina's worked on Emma, Ever After, Sliding Doors, Shakespeare in Love, The Talented Mr. Ripley, The Italian Job, Mamma Mia, Marley and Me, Prometheus and The Martian. And faces she's made up include Gwyneth Paltrow, Kate Blanchett, Charlize Theron, Drew Barrymore, Brad Pitt, Pierce Brosnan, Jude Law and Matt Damon. Quite a CV. Now, before I hand over to Tina, I just wanted to add a bit of personal admiration for her work. Her trademark look of perfected skin, enhanced features, and this sense of kind of gentle strength in her face is just beautiful. And she somehow manages to tease the individual out through makeup rather than mask them. I think it's an extraordinary gift, and she's the definition to me of a true makeup artist. So without any further ado, here is the very lovely and the very modest Tina on her beautiful life. Looking at your CV, as it were, it's really quite extraordinary. You've got 2 Oscar nominations, a host of films that literally everyone would know. I mean, I say Shakespeare in Love, Titanic, Talented Mr. Ripley. And you're very relaxed about your career. The energy I get from you is that you work hard, but you are very grounded.
Yeah, I think I'm very grounded. I think, you know what, I think I've been really lucky. Mm. I was in the right time at the right place. How it all fell into place, I don't know. But, yeah. And I started doing movies when my kids were grown up. And I was grounded. Mm-hmm. And I really don't have an ego. So I'm quite humble about it all. You know, I love it. But it's what it is. It's a job. And I love it.
Let's go back to when you were younger then. And when you first sort of had that moment of thinking, oh, maybe makeup artistry. Were your parents in the creative industry? How did that come about?
No, not at all. My dad was a lawyer. Mm-hmm. And my mum, at that time, when I was 16, was a buyer for Burberry's.
So when you were growing up, in your adolescence, yeah, was makeup a big part of your life?
Well, I started wearing makeup young, probably 13.
Good makeup?
No, probably terrible.
Okay.
I always had an eyeliner. I loved makeup. And I think my dad always used to say, you're not going out with all that on.
Oh,
but, you know, yes, you know, mm-hmm. But my mum wasn't strict, but my dad didn't like it. And so I loved makeup from the age of 13, really.
And your mum, I'm imagining you're saying she worked for Burberry. Was
yes.
she glamorous? Did
Very
she wear
glamorous.
Makeup?
Oh, yes, she wore makeup. But we moved to London when I was 15 from the countryside.
Whereabouts in the countryside?
We lived in Hertfordshire.
Okay.
And we moved up to London because my dad's business went a bit under. His mm-hmm. partner had done him over. So we moved up to London. And he started another practice in the Temple, being a lawyer. And my mum decided to go back to work. She hadn't worked while she'd brought us up. So she went and started working at Burberry's. She was a model when she was younger. And so she went as an assistant, just an ordinary salesperson at Burberry's. And within 4 years, she was the buyer.
Wow.
So she did really well, bless mm-hmm. her, and loved it, loved mm-hmm. every moment of it. And she was there for about 6 years, and then they moved out of London and moved back to the countryside. But in that time of me from 15, I left school at 15. And
How did your parents feel about that?
I did my, I suppose, whatever they were, O-levels or whatever at 15. And that was it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was fine. And
okay.
People could leave at 15 then. And then at 16, I went and did a beauty course in Beecham Place, of all places.
So were you just thinking, maybe I can do this, I like makeup?
Yes, I didn't quite know what I wanted to do. I knew I loved makeup.
Mm.
I knew I wasn't at all academic, hopeless at school. But I was artistic and I loved makeup. And I thought, well, the best thing to do is to go and do a beauty course and perhaps go and work in Selfridges on the, you know.
Was that in the 70s or?
No, that was the 60s.
Okay.
That was the 60s.
So makeup then was a very different thing.
Very different.
The landscape was
totally very different. So I did this beauty course for 6 months and then got a job with Max Factor.
So when you were training for 6 months, were you training in how to make someone look beautiful for film or
no.
for life?
I was training to do facials,
okay.
manicures,
okay.
pedicures. And it was just like a beautician's course.
So like a, okay. A so it didn't focus in on makeup.
A little tiny bit of makeup, I think, was thrown in, but not a lot. Mm-hmm. So then I realised that actually I did not want to be a facialist or be a manicurist. I think I became a manicurist for a week.
Okay.
And hated it.
Okay.
I was so bad at it. So bad. So that wasn't for me. So I got a job in those days, Max Factor, Elizabeth Arden, all those cosmetic houses had places in Bond Street. Beautiful, you know, where all the stars used to go and be made up. So I went to work for Max Factor.
When you say the stars went to be made up, so you would be in Max Factor and people would come in.
Yeah, they'd come in to have their makeup done.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Okay, before big events.
Before big events, yeah.
So it was almost like people now have a makeup artist go
to
them.
They would have, you know, like Charlotte Tilbury or Lisa Eldridge doing them for a red carpet.
Yeah.
There were no makeup artists for red carpet in those days, or even for photographers.
Yeah.
You know, there wasn't a job for makeup artists then. Mm-hmm. So they'd come into Elizabeth Arden or Max Factor and, you know, they'd get done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How interesting.
Big expense, probably. So I was there washing puffs.
Okay.
And then realised I really love makeup.
Mm-hmm.
Loved it. So I stayed there for about 18 months waiting to apply to go to the BBC, because that was really the only training school around. And I knew I wanted to do film and TV.
Okay.
I knew I wanted to do that. And so that was the best train going. So anyway, I got an interview, I got in.
Mm-hmm.
In between leaving Matt's Factory and going there, I worked in a hairdressing salon in North Audley Street as a receptionist.
Do you remember around this time, the first face you made? Say, when you were at Max Factor and people were coming in, was there anyone where you thought, oh my God, I'd love to make that person up? Or was it more
Elizabeth
just
Taylor was gorgeous. She used to come in.
Did she?
Elizabeth Taylor and Natalie Wood came in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, gorgeous. Those faces were so beautiful. And I was really quite shy then. And, you know, you couldn't be caught staring too much.
No.
You were just a little junior, really, with a little funny old pinny on, you know. Cleaning the brushes.
Hi.
And you're from Max Factor makeup.
That's
but
incredible.
Anyway, I knew I wanted to do makeup after that. I knew it's what I wanted to do. And I knew I really liked the glamorous side of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew that I had to learn everything else. Going to the BBC, I had to learn to do hair and wigs.
So how long was the training at the BBC?
It was 2 years.
Right.
So you started off for 6 months in the school, going to school every day. And then they'd throw you out on different projects, you know, being under somebody like a junior.
Right.
And really what happened to me was I got promoted really quickly because it was crazy.
Mm.
Suddenly BBC Two came in, colour television came in, so it shows my age, colour TV came in. So by the time I was, I think, 22, I was made into a supervisor and doing my own shows.
Wow.
And you know, had my own secretary. Bonkers.
Can I pause there about products that you were using at that point? Because this was pre...
Yes.
Now you go into Selfridges and you can buy the products that you were using on a film set now.
Yeah.
Easily.
Yeah.
But back then, it wasn't really quite like that. So there were some makeup houses, the Max Factors, the Elizabeth Arden's, you know, Lancome.
Yeah.
But what was it like? What were you using?
We were using Max Factor mainly, theatrical makeup.
Okay.
Pan sticks.
Yeah.
Pancakes.
Yeah.
All theatrical makeup. And then when colour suddenly came in, which was quite early on in that training, in those 2 years, they all sort of panicked, thinking we had to change everything. And so then we started going over to use things like Lancome.
Right.
or liquid Max Factor. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't all pan, stick and pancake like mm-hmm. it had been. So it gradually started changing once colour television came in.
And what was the attitude like when you were there training? So now, quite often, people look to the big makeup artists and think, that could be my career. I could be, you know, flying around in private jets and wearing gold shoes or whatever yes. it is. I'm guessing from you that that it was very much the attitude of, you will work as a makeup artist, you will not...
Oh, yeah. No, you're a working makeup artist. You yeah. never thought of jobs like that. Because actually, Madeline, there wasn't a job like that.
Mm.
You know, all the photographers, the models did their own makeup
mm-hmm.
in the 50s. They all made themselves mm. up. You know, you have Barbara Golan and all those sort of well-known people.
Mm-hmm.
They'd all do their own makeup photo shoots. There wasn't a job
yeah.
for a makeup artist. So nobody thought on those lines
mm-hmm.
at all.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't really until Barbara Daly, who trained with me, in fact, she was just one school before me, 3 months before me, but we were there at the same time.
Mm.
Barbara specialised. She was so good at beauty.
Yeah.
I mean, she was so clever. And she went freelance quite quickly.
Mm-hmm.
She must have stayed at the Beeb perhaps 4 years, 5 years. And she went freelance. And she made a job for makeup artists. She went round the photographers and worked with them on photo shoots, free, mm-hmm. I think. So... that's how people started using makeup artists.
Right.
You know, on fashion shows. It was really Barbara who got that going.
Mm-hmm.
It was definitely Barbara. I was lucky. Commercials were really prolific at that time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all the big commercials were being, all the big hair commercials were being
and
made.
Were you still doing hair at this point, or was it just
no,
makeup?
Well, I was never very good at hair. I was
okay.
good at wigs. I was mm-hmm. never very good at hair because I'd never had that salon training
right.
like a lot of the girls had. But I knew the basics. I was never good at cutting.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I did commercials, there was always two people doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it was just one housewife or one man, and then I would do the hair.
Yeah.
So sometimes you would do the hair. But mainly I'd always have a really good hairdresser with me on commercials.
And did you like that 70s look? Because I'm thinking of
yeah.
when I touched on the makeup you do, it's very beautiful. The 70s look is quite avant-garde.
Yes,
you,
it is.
Did you embrace
really
that?
Into that? I completely embraced
okay.
it. Like I had the 60s makeup, you know,
mm-hmm.
like when I got married, you know, I had the full works on.
Okay.
And the 70s, I completely embraced it and
mm-hmm.
did it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, yes, completely embraced it.
And the London attitude then, London was quite a place of artistic genesis.
Yes.
It was all
yes,
happening.
Was.
And did it feel like that, working
oh,
among
it did,
those
because I used to work... I did a lot of Bieber ads and
mm-hmm.
things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of... I've got to think of the photographer because it's a woman and it's so silly. But Sarah Moon.
Okay.
I did a
oh,
lot
yeah,
of Sarah Moon.
Yeah.
All the lovely, you know, the lovely dark eyes and
yes.
everything. So... yes, so I really loved the 70s. You know,
right.
I grew up with that, really.
So then you had your children. So I'm imagining that your life is sort of apportioned up. So you are
yes.
doing makeup. And then you go and you have your family life, as it were. Or you know, you have the early startings and you lend more time to that at that point. Is that right?
Yes, well, I wasn't interested in doing films. I was asked to do films. But
mm-hmm.
quite honestly, I was quite young and... I was quite sort of good fun and what have you, and I never thought I'd be able to concentrate
mm.
on a film
mm.
for 3 or 4 months at a time, all
mm-hmm.
the continuity. I thought, no, this isn't for me. Commercials
mm-hmm.
are perfect. 2 days, 3 days a week. It's really fabulous money.
Mm-hmm.
Bringing up my kids, it was perfect.
So you were living, where were you living?
We were living in Blackheath.
Okay.
We lived in Blackheath while the kids were growing up.
And can I ask you about your makeup and beauty routine when you had children? Because
yeah.
often, and as a makeup artist actually, because you're spending yeah. a lot of time and energy doing other, making other people
yes.
look glamorous and fabulous.
Yeah.
You're beautifully made up today, but was that...
Always was.
You always were.
Always got the face on first
okay.
thing in the morning.
Okay. And can you name a couple of your personal favourite products around that time? Or
let's have a think. When Ben and Polly were little, what would I love? Well, I'd always have a really good foundation.
Mm-hmm.
I would always have a really good eyeliner.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think which
Do you remember
eyeliner.
What you used?
I'd probably use Rimmel, I think.
Did you? Okay.
A black
what
Rimmel
about
eyeliner.
Perfumes and things? Were you? Does it extend to that?
I tell you what I used.
Yeah.
I used Fracas.
Okay.
Fracas by
yeah.
Balenciaga.
Yeah.
And I used. I think Fracas was my favourite for years.
Is that no? Is that's not the one? That's Roger Piguet.
Yes,
it's
it
a
is.
Black bottle.
Black.
Yeah.
And I used what was the other one? The lovely one, which is still going.
Fracker's still going. My mum wears that.
What, Frag, does she?
My mum really so likes nice. That. She likes Shalimar as well.
I mean, Shalimar was lovely. What were the other ones by Cootie? Is that Cootie?
Yeah, Guerlain is Shalimar.
No, Guerlain. And what was the other one? I used to use Shalimar.
Yeah.
There's one other one I used. Fracker was all my favourite for years.
Yeah, the big strong scent.
And Le D by Balenciaga.
Okay. Yeah.
The D was lovely.
I'm imagining you then as quite a glamorous figure.
I was a glamorous one.
Okay.
Yes.
You're a glamorous mum.
I was a glamorous mum, yeah.
So what made you take the first film then?
I'll tell you exactly what happened was I'd worked all along with this fabulous hairdresser. Mm-hmm. We'd done all the big commercials. I did all the Ridley Scott commercials, Chanel commercials. I worked with Tony Scott. All the sort of big names and commercials I worked in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And so Carol Hemming, who I don't know if you know who she is.
I don't.
Hairdresser, right. She did the hair on Cinderella.
Mm-hmm.
She did all the early Merchant Ivory films.
Okay.
And Carol and I did lots of commercials together and we were good friends. But she was also doing films. And this film came up, Merchant Ivory film, and it was going to Paris.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Jefferson in Paris.
Mm-hmm.
Set in the 1780s, white faces, white wigs, and Carol said, look, come with me, you know, and, you know, his makeup artist, he doesn't like her anymore, James Ivory, he's quite old, James Ivory, come on, I'm going to suggest you, so I've got the job.
Were you nervous, though?
Well, I was a bit nervous over that one.
Well, it's a big thing to go.
There's 1,000 extras a day, I was nervous, but Carol said, come on, it'll be perfect for you, there's beautiful pale faces and skins, and, and it's just what you're good at.
Yes.
So off we went to Paris. In fact, I took my car. And one assistant, and she took one assistant, and we got French people there. We were all given nice apartments.
Mm-hmm.
We had Nick Nolte, Gwyneth Paltrow's first film, that was. We had Nick Nolte, Greta Scacchi, Tandy Newton.
Mm-hmm.
And Nick Nolte had to wear a false nose.
And was that your job too?
It was,
do?
My job.
Okay.
And of course I'd done prosthetics, but in a half-hearted way at the BBC.
Yeah.
And it wasn't really my thing. But anyway, I had to get a nose cast and a nose made for him.
Okay.
And he was a big drinker.
Right.
And this nose, I mean, there'd be sweat coming out of it.
No.
And the French DOP, lighting cameraman, he used strip lighting, which is quite an unusual thing to use. And so what it did was it took the blood out of the skin.
Okay.
So I wouldn't know that by looking at it. But when you went to see the Rushes, the Dailies.
Yeah.
You'd see this nose would look white in the tests.
Okay.
And so it was ridiculous. We had to make it bright red to make it film all right.
Okay.
I mean, how, you know, we had to adjust that. Uh-huh. In fact, we got it perfect.
Okay.
We got it perfect.
I'm going to have to go and watch that film now. Look at that nose. Okay.
You had to go and look at that nose. And the king had a nose on as well.
Okay.
So one day, I got an ulcer on that film because I was scared, actually. I got a duodenum ulcer.
Did you?
I did because I was so frightened.
I can't, but how, so also, you're 1,000 extras. You're at the head of this
massive
operation.
I am.
Were you very organised about it?
Very organised.
Okay.
But I was always very organised.
Mm.
And I had Carol.
Mm-hmm.
And I had one good assistant with me.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I got my assistant to do the noses. I had them made and everything. Because she was better than me at putting them on.
Yeah.
And I did the girls. I did Tandy, Gwyneth and Greta. So I did the three girls. And I did the Queen.
And when you started, do you remember... So I... Personally, I always have this thing where when I start a job, I am sort of overly cautious. Like, I'll check my copy 8 times. I'll check everything.
Yes.
And then as you go on, you become a bit
more...
Well,
you do. You get a bit more...
Well, yes. But were you watching the screen the whole time thinking, is that okay? Is that okay? Doing...
Oh, yes. But you do that anyway, I think, on a film.
You
always watch the monitor.
Okay.
You do, actually.
And
now you can get it up on your iPad, you know.
Yeah.
Which is really good.
You can watch it. You're watching it as it goes.
Yeah. So you don't always have a space to go and watch the monitor.
Yeah.
It is good to have that.
Yeah.
Yes, I was. Yes, I did watch the monitor all the time. And in those days, you'd go and see the Rushes or the Dailies.
Yeah.
Every night, which was a drag, actually, because you'd never get home till 10:30 at night after that.
Yeah, I can imagine.
But in a way, you had to go.
How long are those Rushes and Dailies?
Like two and a half hours.
Oh, my God. And then with continuity, how are you doing that? Was that Polaroids?
Polaroids.
Okay.
All Polaroids, which you couldn't see a thing.
Yeah.
And lots of notes.
Yeah.
Polaroids and lots of notes.
And do you remember the products then? Was it a switch for you to go from doing a makeup where it's a still or an advert that's done
one
day?
No, the same makeup I used for commercials. Or
okay.
Yeah.
Same makeup.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then you did that film. What was the next film? Do you remember?
The next film I did was Merchant Ivory again in the September called Feast of July.
Okay.
Which didn't do well, and that was in Dorset.
Right.
And that's when Polly joined me, actually. Polly came I made her count the beards in the crowd room.
Okay.
And that's when she sort of, she wanted to ride horses, but mm-hmm. of course you have to have a lot of money to do that.
Yes.
So Polly came and helped me, then she got hooked.
Yeah.
And then that's how she started doing makeup, really. Mm-hmm. And before I'd done my first film, mm-hmm. I did a lot of stills with people like David Bailey, Richard Avedon. Mm-hmm. I worked with all those big photographers, Incredible. Herb Ritts, yeah. what have you. I did a lot of stuff with David Bailey in those days.
And were they outrageous, those shoes? Were
those
they...
shoes, it was never really my cup of tea.
Okay.
It's a whole different set of people, you know.
Right.
And the hair people were so different. I mean, it wasn't really... Mm. It wasn't what I enjoyed
doing. Was it quite fashion?
It was so fashion-y.
Right, yeah.
And the people, I felt really quite shy. Mm-hmm. It wasn't really my world at all.
If you're,
my world yeah. at all.
It's a very different thing, isn't it,
yeah,
to be involved in that kind of atmosphere.
Very different world.
Yeah.
So, So anyway, after that, then I went and did Othello with Carol again, hairdresser. Mm-hmm. Carol and I did Othello in Italy with Kenneth Branagh.
Yes.
Which was great, and Lawrence Fishburne. Mm-hmm. And then Gwyneth came back to England to do Emma.
Okay.
She asked for me, which mm-hmm. was nice. Mm-hmm. So I did her, but I wasn't a personal. People hadn't really started having personals then.
Okay.
So I
headed
designed
up
the film,
makeup.
Headed up the makeup right. department. And I got a hairdresser to head the hair department.
Can I ask you here, because Emma is one of those makeups, when I saw it when I was a teenager, I remember thinking, oh, the skin and the life in her face and the kind of...
Yes.
It was one of the first... The makeups you did around that time were probably the first makeups that makeup jobs that spoke to me and made me think, wow. And oh. It's really quite extraordinary. And I just wanted to ask you about how you came to... design that sort of what I would call the Tina Earnshaw look, which is beautiful skin.
Well, you know what? I mean, that's what I love doing, and I probably used a lot of makeup.
Right.
I used a lot of foundation and patted it in. Pale, beautiful. I blocked the skin out.
Yeah.
I blocked the faces completely out mm-hmm. and then put the colour back in.
But that's interesting because a period makeup, there are some makeup artists now, particularly, yeah. who would say it's a period makeup, so we'll put nothing but grease on their skin.
Oh,
and yeah. And I sort of, yeah. I like to indulge in the fantasy
so do
of it and have this yeah. beautiful, you know, the idea that someone yeah. has unblemished skin. When,
yeah.
I mean, no one has
yes,
unblemished skin.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So that's what I always love doing. And in fact, when I did Shakespeare in Love, mm. I was Gwyneth's personal on that.
Right.
And the makeup designer wanted her with a scrub face. I said, no, it's not going to happen. They're not going to want that in Hollywood, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
And I had a terrible fight with her. I said, no. Mm-hmm. You know, she's going to look porcelain and wonderful.
Yeah.
Different when she becomes a boy, which she did.
So when you said you had a fight with her,
yeah.
because you're very polite and you have also said you're shy, but
there's
obviously
firm.
This real
no, I can
firmness.
Be firm.
And, yeah.
No, I can be firm. I said, it's not going to happen.
Mm.
You know, I don't know what the studio was, whether it was Sony or Fox or Universe, mm. I can't remember. I said, they are not going to want Gwyneth to have a scrubbed face.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
as much as you do it for reality,
yeah.
and this particular makeup designer did do it for reality, she's not going to look like that, I'm
yeah.
telling you.
Yeah.
And so I wasn't, you know...
You're very firm about it.
Very firm, yeah.
And so when you're working with these, you're doing big studios, so I mentioned, I mean, the films are just crazy huge and films that everyone knows. Do you feel the pressure every day? What happens if you're ill?
You don't get ill, really.
Okay.
You actually don't get ill. I don't know why.
Yeah, I suppose
you
your body goes into
I think you get ill afterwards.
Yeah.
I don't think I've, touch wood, ever had a day off work while I've been working. You know, touch wood.
Yeah.
I might have gone home early feeling shitty.
Right.
But
it's
you know,
very early yeah. mornings as well.
Well, you know, you get used to it.
So you steel yourself
yeah.
for it.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
yeah, I'm an early person anyway, an
mm-hmm.
early bird.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I go to bed early.
Yeah.
I pace myself.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. And I really love it. You know, I still love doing
it. Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
A at this point, you're working with very big actresses. Are they stealing from your kit? Are you?
No, they're not stealing from
your kit. Okay, they're not stealing from your kit.
The extras steal.
Oh, do they?
The extras steal from people's kits and okay. crowd work.
Gosh, interesting.
Only one actress.
Yeah.
Actually, two actresses.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to name names because they're really well known.
Okay.
Would take things away, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Right, so then you are... There's this massive moment in your career that everyone knows about when you went to work on Titanic.
I know.
How did that come about?
Well, that was all through Kate Winslet. I was doing Kenneth Branagh's Hamlet.
Mm-hmm.
And Kate was in it. She was playing Ophelia.
Were you doing all the makeup for that film?
I was the designer on it. No, I was the designer for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
There still weren't really personals.
Mm-hmm.
There's still, you know, people still hadn't started having personals properly. Yeah. You know, just some of the American actresses did.
Right.
And actors. But in England, you know, makeup artists used to hate it when somebody had a personal. You know,
yeah.
they felt as
it's very un-British.
Very un-British.
Yeah.
Anyway. So, well, I was doing Hamlet. Mm-hmm. It was massive. It was a four-hour film. And Carol, my friend Carol, was doing the hair as well. And we had all those actors in it. We had Charlton Heston, Billy Crystal. Mm. We had so many huge actors, everybody. Mm. Jack Lemmon.
Yeah.
Julie Christie, everybody. And I was designing, but I did Julie and Kate. And Kate had to have 3 days off to go to America for an interview for Titanic with mm-hmm. James Cameron.
Mm-hmm.
And when she got there, she said, you know, I'm doing this period film, and this makeup artist is really good at doing period. She's really good at making my skin look beautiful and what have you. He said, oh, right. And that's how I got the job. He just phoned me the next day and said, would you like to do Titanic? I got
just like that.
Just like that. I said, all right. All right.
That's... I mean, did you know how big it was going to be at that point?
Or? I knew it was going to be big, but we didn't realise ever it would be that popular.
Right.
And I knew it was going to Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
I knew I wouldn't be allowed union girls from America.
Mm-hmm.
I knew I had to use people from Mexico. And I was allowed to take a lot of people with me.
Right, because the extras as well. I mean,
we had 1,000 extras every single day.
Every single day, yeah.
Not they shot on them every day. Mm-hmm. But I took about 10 people with me because mm-hmm. I realised it wasn't union.
Yeah.
And they didn't have to pay us meal penalties.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know my first Hollywood movie.
Yeah.
I was naive. So I took all young people with me.
Okay.
All young people except for one slightly more experienced makeup artist, mm-hmm. Deb Taylor, who's great.
Mm-hmm.
I took Polly, my daughter. I took all these young 20-year-olds.
So you flew over them imagining some massive yes. army of makeup artists
I
arriving.
Did. And for them, yeah. they were earning great money, really.
Yeah.
And they were learning on the
and
job.
And what
I mean,
experience.
I really risked it. But we had 2 months prep, so everybody knew what they were doing. Mm-hmm. There was nothing that difficult.
What do you do in the prep time, then?
Well, you do, you know, you had to work out all the freezing, all the stuff, you know.
Of course.
All that ice
yes.
stuff. And also, we had 3 different looks. We had the people who were down below,
mm-hmm.
who were all scruffy with beards.
Mm-hmm.
In the middle class and then the first class.
Mm-hmm.
So we had 3 different big makeup looks. And I wasn't doing the hair.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't the hair designer in it as well, because we always had hairdressers then.
Mm-hmm.
And so so we had a lot of prep time. I took a lot of people with me. I had 4 Italians.
Mm-hmm.
I had 4 Italians, 4 Italians from Rome,
mm-hmm.
who lay on beautiful beards. That was a clever move, because I knew in the water,
yes.
you know, we used a lot of pretend beards as well, but
yeah.
I knew they'd be falling off.
Did they fall off?
Oh, all the time. Like, I can't watch that film.
So why?
I think I'm going to see all the beards floating through.
Oh, God.
Do you know, I haven't
imagine.
Seen it. I can't see it.
Really?
I went to
the premiere.
I'm
tempted to get it out now. No, so let's watch the water scene.
I went to the premiere.
Okay.
And I haven't been able to watch it since.
Oh, really?
All the mistakes I'm going to see. Yeah, I'm like
I'm sure
one.
You were. I mean, the makeup on that job was... makeup on that film was incredible.
It wasn't that incredible.
It really was.
Anyway.
So were you just doing Kate's makeup on that film and designing the rest?
I did Kate and... a couple of other girls.
Right.
Yeah, I did Kate and a couple of the other girls. Sean, who I took, did Leo.
Mm-hmm.
Polly did a couple of the other girls.
So when you're doing Kate's makeup, this is a long shoot. It's this extremely
yeah.
exhausting shoot.
Yeah. Extremely long hours.
Extremely long hours. And you were saying, last time I spoke to you, about Kate curling her eyelashes.
Well, Kate liked her moment. I mean,
okay.
you know, it took a long time getting Kate ready, because it took me a long time to block her skin up because it was red and raw from the cold.
Okay.
Her skin wasn't that good.
Yeah.
And I put a lot
so
of makeup on
her. So her skin was quite stressed and ruddy.
I've never put that much makeup on now,
okay.
to be actual fact.
Okay.
I mean, I had a lot of foundation on her.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't use that much now, but that was how I did things then.
Yeah.
And it worked. It mm-hmm. sort of worked. I don't know whether it would work that well in HD now, that amount of makeup. And Kate loved her moment of curling her eyelashes. And sometimes she'd sit there for 15 minutes curling her eyelashes. And, you know, her time got longer in the makeup chair and all the producers saying, you must be quicker. But I could never really hurry her.
No, well, you couldn't. Also, if someone's relaxing and kind of...
Yeah.
And even at the time of making the film, there was a lot of talk about the pressures of it. You know, this is over budget, over time.
Oh, yes.
Did you feel that pressure because...
I didn't feel that pressure because I didn't probably spend a lot of money on makeup.
Right.
I mean, they never really give you a budget. Mm-hmm. Some they did on Mamma Mia on this last film, but they never... And I was just careful with what I bought, really, I suppose. I had to have all makeup for all those extras and everything. But I probably didn't overspend at all. I probably could have spent a lot more.
But was the atmosphere stressed?
Or yeah, it was stressed.
It got all stressed.
The time.
Okay.
All the time, because actually the director did a lot of shouting.
Yeah.
And we did a lot of long hours. You know, and you'd start a day. I'd start on a Monday morning, say, with Kate in the chair at 5 o'clock, and we'd go later each day. So by the time you got to Wednesday, you'd be into nights because of the hours and the turnarounds. And so it ended up really, the whole film was really almost shot on nights.
Yeah.
You know, it was really long days.
And exhausting. And also, you're working with people who are under a lot of pressure, performing long hours, not just thinking about Kate, but all the actors you work with. And you sort of become their confidant during that time.
Yeah.
And do you feel like that's another element to your job? Because you're
it is. Yeah. It was because I got very close to Kate. You know, she was young, she was 20. And, you know, and James Cameron wanted a personal trainer for her. He wanted her thin as anything. She had a beautiful figure.
Yeah.
You know, and yes, she works, her and Leo work so hard. I mean, they worked so hard without ever complaining.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen two people work as hard as that.
Oh, really?
No. I mean, there were long hours. It was in the water a lot. A lot of danger, really.
Yeah.
A lot of danger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when Titanic came out and then it was huge, did your career change as well?
It did change.
Okay.
My career completely changed, really. Although I'd done all those good movies before, a lot of it was thanks to Carol for taking me on my first movie. And I'd done some great movies before that. It did change because that was my first Hollywood movie, I suppose. Well, it wasn't my first Hollywood movie, but I suppose Mexico, Baja, was classed as America in a way.
Yeah.
So it was being there. And a Max Factor approached me to do their commercials after that. So I did about 6 or 7 commercials for
quite
them.
Quite a nice round.
Yes, it was.
Started
coming
there.
Back again.
Yeah.
That was what's so funny, from being 16, working in their salon, then doing their commercials. And that was a really lucky break for me, actually, with Titanic.
Yeah.
Because I got great movies after that. I mean, I think I've been really lucky.
Yeah, I mean, lucky and also great at your job.
Well,
which brings me back to the Titanic makeup itself.
Yes.
Now, I've spoken to you about this before, and we've made a little video about it, but do you remember any of the makeup products you were using, or skincare products you were using?
That... I know exactly what I used.
Okay, can you name a couple of them?
Yes, I can. I used 3 different foundations.
Right.
So I used a pan stick. I used a makeup, I think it was a 1W Makeup Forever pan stick.
Applied with a brush?
Applied with a brush and a sponge.
Okay.
And I mixed it with a liquid... A liquid Guerlain used to do the most wonderful, wonderful foundation. And I forget what it was called. And then they stopped doing it. A very
liquid
pale,
foundation.
Very liquid. Very pale liquid I mixed with it. And then I mixed... I think it was probably just those 2 foundations. And then concealer. I can't remember what concealer I would have used then. Probably would have been way too heavy. Because there was no tissue clattering like that then.
Yeah.
And then I used in her socket line, I can remember so well, it was a Dior powder eyeshadow just here. And it was like a sort of lilac-y grey, just shading across there. And it was a black eyeliner. And it was an Italian eyeliner by, I'm trying to think the make, it's the best cake eyeliner ever.
Cake eyeliner is quite hard to come
by. Il Maquillage, not Il Maquillage, because that's... That's French.
Yeah.
It was Il Mascara.
Okay.
Il Mascara, who's still going, actually.
Okay.
I don't know if they make that cake eyeliner.
Yeah.
But it was a fantastic, very thin.
Yeah, yeah, it was very,
very
thin.
Very, very thin. And a tiny bit of mascara. And I would have used cream rouge, so I probably would have used a little bit of whatever cream it, I don't know. I might even have used the berry lipstick a bit on her cheeks.
Okay. Yeah, because
and
was
then
a
I powdered well with pale pink powder.
Yes.
I can remember exactly what powder I used.
Which one was that?
Le Clerc.
Okay.
The pink powder by Le Clerc.
Mm.
I think it's called Orchid. In the lovely little silver tin. I used masses of that. So I've always sealed it well with powder.
Mm-hmm. And then I've just remembered one other story you once told me about the Titanic set, about the one extra who was never used. Can you tell our listeners that story?
We used to get this elevator operator ready every day.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a 7-month shooting schedule, I think. Mm-hmm. So we got this man ready every day. He was on the call sheet every day, the elevator operator.
Mm-hmm.
So we'd get him ready, we'd put his moustache on, and he'd never get used.
Mm-hmm.
And he was always on the call sheet. On the very last day of shooting, they used him.
Great.
Hysterical.
Was he shocked?
He was shocked.
Yeah.
Absolutely shocked. He was there for all that time
mm-hmm.
in Mexico,
yeah.
you know, and had to get ready every day.
Yeah.
It's like we'd get the extras ready every day, and then mm-hmm. they wouldn't be shot on every day.
So on Mamma Mia, were you doing Pierce and...
Well, I was designing the whole film.
But you were making everyone very tanned on Mamma Mia.
Very tanned.
Was there a secret product you used?
Lots of different things. Lots of different spray-on things. And,
okay. Instant tan or...?
Well, we did a lot of spray tan.
Mm-hmm.
We had booths. I must have had about 20 booths.
Okay.
All with heating and everything.
Okay.
Because we'd spray the dancers and everything.
Wow.
And we used different sorts. We tried about 3 or 4 different sorts of spray tan.
Okay.
Lauren's Way we used, and I think they've gone out of business, sadly, because it was the best one.
Okay.
So Lauren's Way was probably the favourite.
Yeah.
But it was just getting people to come, and exfoliate, bring their right clothes,
mm-hmm.
and then they had to wash it off 8 hours later. So, you know, it's quite a number every 3 days.
Again, it's a big operation.
So it's a big operation to keep going.
Mm.
So the actors were really good about it. Mm-hmm. Lily was excellent.
Okay.
She was really good. But
this
when
is
we
Lily
did,
James.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But when Lily was too tired or we couldn't get her in, I used this spray thing called Era, which you can only buy in America, which is wonderful.
Is it like a handheld?
No, it's a spray.
Okay.
In a silver can. You spray it.
Yeah.
And then you buff it up.
Okay.
And it stays on and it's waterproof. It's really good.
Oh, great. Of course, because really they're good. In the water a lot as well. So,
so we used a lot of that, but that takes time to do it.
Yeah.
It adds on to the makeup time in the morning.
Yeah.
If you're doing the body, it's an extra 20 minutes doing the body with somebody else helping you.
Yeah.
So we used that, the Era makeup. We used Rimmel.
Mm-hmm.
For the extras, the Rimmel glimmer stuff, which was good. It did come off a bit, but the Rimmel was excellent.
Mm.
And we did a lot of spray tanning.
And then I've also got down Pierce Brosnan, because in our teams, we have a special place in our heart for Pierce Brosnan.
We do.
We think he's lovely,
oh
and he comes
God,
across so well.
I know.
Is he as lovely in
real
life?
Yes. I mean, on the first film, I gave him to somebody else to look after, but I thought on this one, I want to look after Pierce, because I got on with him so well.
Yeah.
And he's such a fantastic man.
Yeah.
You know, he suffered quite a lot in his life. You know, he lost his first wife.
Mm.
And then he lost his stepdaughter.
Right.
A few years ago with exactly the same ovarian cancer.
Okay.
Just, I think, about 3 years ago. Mm. Exactly at the same age he lost his wife.
Mm.
And while we were filming on this beautiful island in Croatia called Vis, his dog died. And, oh, God, his dog died. He was so upset. So I sent up the little miniature brandy for him.
Aww.
I know. Aww. We both had a good cry together.
Did you?
Yeah, such a lovely man.
Yeah.
Really special man.
Mm. Yeah,
really.
He comes across very
really,
well.
Really, really special.
You have really been in the thick of Hollywood, working with the big Hollywood players for like 25 years.
Yes.
And suddenly it's emerging, well, or lots of stories are emerging, that Hollywood is actually quite a... unpleasant place in many respects.
Yes.
Did you see any of that? Or
well, I went to live in America for about 7 years.
Mm.
Only because I went with Gwyneth. She took me on a film and I went there and I got my union card. It was one film after the other.
Mm.
And my sort of marriage split up for a while then.
Mm-hmm.
And so I stayed there, coming home all the time. But I got a flat and I did 2 Spider-Man films there and what have
with
you.
With Kirsten Dunst.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was doing Toby, actually. I was looking after Toby.
Okay.
But I think it is very different. It's very cutthroat.
Yeah.
Very organised, Hollywood. Very, very organised, but very tough. Very, very long hours.
Yeah.
Much longer than we do in England.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And very, very tough. Those studios are tough.
Okay.
Yes, it's very cutthroat.
It's very cutthroat.
And it's noticeable, I think.
And are the actors coming to you for comfort sometimes in those scenarios?
Sort of, but it's so fast-paced. And in a way, Americans are slightly different to the English. you know, the English actors, actresses and actors are a bit more, you know, they're a bit more laid back in a way, mm-hmm. I think, mm-hmm. than American actors. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing or a good thing, but, you know, I think in the States, they don't put up with any nonsense, you know. Mm-hmm. They couldn't, you wouldn't be allowed to have a bottle of wine in your fridge on your trailer.
Okay.
You know, alcohol drinking is completely taboo, mm-hmm. and everything. Mm-hmm. Whereas in England, we'd always perhaps offer the actors at the end of the day a drink or okay. something, you know. But that wouldn't, you know, that wouldn't sort of happen in America.
Okay.
But I loved the experience. I loved the excitement of it. But it was tough. And it's wonderful working in Sony Studios and, you know, all those wonderful studios in
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
It was a really, it was an incredible experience.
Mm. And it's a massive, massive thing to have done
yes,
as well.
Yes, it was.
Talk to me about Oscar nominations. Is that, I mean, it's happened to you twice.
Yeah.
For Shakespeare in Love and Titanic.
Yeah.
Were you expecting to be nominated?
No, not really. I mean, not at all. Mm. I mean, with Titanic, didn't really deserve a nomination because it was, well, it was just, you know, pretty makeup.
I fully disagree.
All right. Okay. Anyway, and with yeah. Shakespeare in Love, you know, I was only really doing Gwyneth.
Mm.
I did her as the boy and as the girl. And really, the makeup designer and hair designer, you know, did all the wonderful stuff on Judi Dench. So really, you know, that's, yeah.
Again, I very yeah. much disagree. But yeah. when your nominations came in then, how does it happen? Does someone give you a phone call?
Yes, well, they come, the nominations come up, don't they? The categories. Now what would happen is you'd have to go over there. Mm-hmm. If you were down to the last seven, you'd have to go over there and talk through a what have you, of what you did and everything, yeah.
Okay.
So it's called a bake-off.
Okay.
And then it gets down to three, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And on the night, was that
exciting.
Very nerve-wracking?
Yeah. Well, it is. It's exciting because you're put in a good hotel.
Yeah.
You're given your own chauffeur.
Lovely.
You go to all the parties.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good fun.
Yeah.
And I was so hoping not to win because I did not want to make a speech.
Oh, really?
No. I was so delighted that didn't happen.
It's so incredible to be nominated.
Yes,
what an extraordinary
yes.
thing. I wish that you guys could see Tina today because your makeup is immaculate.
Is it?
It's incredible.
It's not like this every day nowadays.
I was going to say, do you still... So you're... I don't actually know how old you are.
I'm 73.
73, okay. And you? Do you do your makeup every day?
I don't run a home in the countryside.
Okay.
Not every day.
Okay.
But I do try and do it most days because it makes me feel better.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
I always used to do it every day, but just if I come off a film and I'm tired, I don't always put it on every day if I'm gardening or cleaning my house.
But you still have the love of it now
yes.
that you enjoy.
No. Well, I look so much better with it. Oh, God. I look so awful without it.
Do you have a couple of products you absolutely love now?
Yeah. I love the La Prairie Concealer.
Okay.
The number 10 under the eyes.
Mm. It's very specific.
Lovely. Absolutely marvellous.
Yeah.
And I've got La Prairie Foundation on.
Mm-hmm.
I think, forget which colour. Honey Glow, I think I've got on, or mm-hmm. Honey Something or Other.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the Armani Eyes to Kill Mascara.
Right. Which eyeliner do you have on now?
I haven't... Oh, I tell you what, I've got the Kevin O'Conn Brown Pencil.
Okay, it's lovely.
Kevin O'Conn Brown Pencil, mm-hmm. yeah.
And lipstick?
Lipstick is Kevin O'Conn Medium Lip Pencil
mm-hmm.
with a pink gloss over. One of my old pink glosses when I made makeup.
Yeah. And you just said you made makeup years ago and now you make brushes.
Yes.
I need to... firstly say that those brushes are unbelievable. I was speaking to a makeup artist, Sonia Devaney, the
yes.
other day, and I showed her your fine yes. eyeliner brush, and she I think she wanted to steal it. I didn't let her.
No, don't let her.
I did not let her. But it is, your brushes are absolutely incredible. I've used every single one.
Good.
They're firm, they're well made, they do the job. They're, you know, you've thought of the things. In my
yes.
view, you found the things that are little cracks in the armour, like
yes.
the thinnest eyeliner brush in
yes.
the entire world.
Yeah.
That big cheek brusher is
yes.
firm, but plenty of
yes.
hairs. So obviously you've got years and years of experience, but what made you think, I'll bring out brushes?
Well, because I think brushes, I just love brushes, love makeup brushes. And I did it years ago. I bought out a range and I bought out cosmetics. We're going back a long time, Madeline.
Mm-hmm.
And I put my own money into it, and it wasn't, I was in America, and it wasn't a silly thing to put your own money in.
Okay.
And then when I came back to England a couple of years ago, lots of my friends, makeup artists, said, God, you know, we've still got some of your old brushes. Why don't you do your brushes? And I just thought, you know, I could just do 21 brushes and just do brushes and a couple of other things. Don't need to do makeup again because you can't compete.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to do really beautiful brushes again and with really beautiful hair, handmade, beautiful, wonderful brushes.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not cheap. But makeup artists can get a 30% discount. Mm-hmm. And I just did only 21 because that's more than enough. Mm-hmm. And I just did it again. And whether it was silly or not, but it's, you know, it's slow. It's going well. But they're beautiful brushes.
They're beautiful.
They
brushes.
Really are beautiful.
How long did the process of...
Didn't take me long to design them again, no.
Okay.
And I went to an English company.
Mm-hmm.
And
are they made in England?
Yes. Okay. And I knew what I wanted. Mm-hmm. And so by the time I sent off samples... Mm. I suppose it was 6 months in all.
Okay.
Really, by the time I got samples back. And funny enough, I was on a film in Spain called The Promise when all the samples came back in.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a chance to use them all and then adjust two or three which weren't right, which
mm-hmm.
I did.
Mm-hmm.
It was really good because I was working and I could really try them. Two or three weren't right because I've used a lot of Japanese nylon, which is like the orange material, which is really beautiful.
Yeah, there's that fat, flat
it's
brush.
It's wonderful.
Yeah, I love that brush.
That's lovely, isn't it?
It's a fantastic brush.
And so a few weren't right, so we got that right. And then my son came in and he's been helping me with it.
Mm-hmm.
And Sophia now has joined us.
Mm-hmm.
She's very, very good.
And so looking, you've got all this experience and yet you seem, and you've been doing it for years, and yet you still seem to have not lost any of the passion for makeup.
No, I love, still love doing it. I still love working. I mean, I'd love to go on working for a couple more years.
So is that what you're planning to do?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
You know, if anybody wants me.
I did two
really busy films last year.
So you did Mamma Mia?
And I did All the Money in the World with Ridley Scott.
Okay.
You know, halfway through, and towards the end of Mamma Mia, Ridley decided to recast, as you know, Kevin Spacey's part. So I was flying back on weekends to Rome to supervise all that with Christopher Plummer.
Gosh.
So it was quite a busy time for me
before
Christmas.
Christopher Plummer's another cracking actor.
Yes.
You've worked with everyone.
He's been nominated for an Oscar for that.
Yeah. He's fantastic. Thank you so much for coming
on
our podcast and sharing some of your incredible stories.
Is that all right?
It was fantastic. We're looking forward to seeing what you do next. Especially am. Thank you very much,
Tina. Thanks, Madeline. It was lovely. Thank you for having me, inviting me.
So that was the great Tina Earnshaw. I hope you enjoyed the episode. Please do rate and review it. And don't forget to subscribe if you haven't already so that you don't miss any future episodes. I'll be back next week with a new guest, so see you then. Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.